Good morning and welcome to worship at Little Sitar Church for the Brethren. We also want to welcome the listeners on WLBR who will be listening to this broadcast later today. It is a joy to be here this morning on a snowy day. Announcements. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before us this morning?
If you ordered a smelly jelly from the youth, it is available for pickup in the back of the sanctuary at the end of the service.
Next week is December 22nd. We will have one worship service at 10:30. So just to make everyone aware, Sunday school will still be at 9:30, but worship will be only at 10:30.
There is another announcement. We're having a pastoral search team has had its first meeting with our district executive, Craig Smith, and we have begun the process, kind of got our marching orders, a little bit of a direction as to where we need to go. And we would covet your prayers as we go through this process. We really want it to be a spirit-led, a God-led search as we seek our next pastor. Joys and concerns. What do we have in the way of joys and concerns this morning?
I would like prayer for my son, Albert. He fell from scaffolding this week and cracked his vertebrae in two places. They thought they'd have to do surgery, but they decided to put a brace on, and we would like to pray for, like have prayer for speedy recovery.
Yes, I have a prayer concern. It's my niece's father-in-law, and his name is Reverend Ron Black. He's an evangelical free minister from Greensboro, North Carolina, and we're asking for prayer. He has cancer, and he's had some liver involvement, and his son is going to see him on Tuesday. That would be my niece's husband. Thank you for your prayers.
Yes, I'd like to have prayers for Bruce Hoyer. Bruce is going to be getting a pacemaker on Friday this week.
Mine is joy. I was glad to hear the children's Christmas program this morning.
Was a joy. I understand they were videotaping that. I'm not sure if it's going to be available, but it was taped if you've missed it.
Yes, it will be available if somebody missed it.
It will be available if someone missed it. I'll probably ask Mark. Alrighty. That appears to be all the joys and concerns. Our first hymn is hymn number 202. Please stand and sing.
Oh,
remain standing and join me in the call to worship. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, upon them the light has shined.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Please be seated for the choral anthem. From Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus."
Thank you. In addition to the prayer concerns that were expressed in the congregation a moment ago, I have a few others that I want to lift up. Bonnie Bainey this week will have her second chemotherapy. Dorothy Reniger is in Reading Hospital. Kevin Boltz had, I think it was knee replacement or was it hip replacement? Knee replacement, and may still be in Good Samaritan Hospital. I've been in Dominican Republic until yesterday, so not quite as in touch with these things as I might be. Gerhard Reinhardt is in Good St. Joe's Hospital in Reading. Faye Balsbaugh is in Lancaster General Hospital. You heard about Albert Timmons, that prayer concern was mentioned, and then you heard the others that were mentioned. So we have a number of people in the hospital. A couple of weeks ago, I made visits in five different counties to visit our folks, and I didn't count them up this time, but there are at least three counties there represented. So let's remember those folks in our prayers. Join with me, please, in a time of prayer. God, we're so grateful that we can come together in this place, even though we're smaller in number than normal today because of the rain, the snow, and the ice that we received. Many chose to not brave the icy roads today, and we certainly support them in that decision. We're thankful for those who came here today. We know that we're two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, there you are in the midst of them. And so we believe you're present with us here today. And we've come here to glorify the name of Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus above every name, because you've promised us that that if we lift Jesus up, you will draw all men and women unto him. And so we've come here to lift up Jesus, to glorify the name of Jesus today, and also to support and encourage and love one another. It's so good to be together with our brothers and sisters today. How blessed it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. We know that you're mindful of all of our members who are in the hospital and countless others around the world who need prayers, who need a touch of healing, who need encouragement. And we pray, we add the names of Bonnie Bainey and Dorothy Reniger and Kevin Boltz, Gerhard Reinhardt, Faye Balsbaugh, Albert Timmons, and Ron Black. We add this to your already very lengthy list of needs for healing and wholeness. We also pray for Bruce Hoyer and pray your blessing upon him. And there are others within this congregation who are suffering a variety of kinds of illnesses or recovering from time in surgery or are shut in their homes or in nursing centers. We pray that you would pour out an overflowing blessing. We also are grateful for the wonderful program our children did this morning. Wow, that was just a great moment in this Christmas season. And we're thankful for them and for the leaders. Thankful for all of those who came out probably when it was still dark to shovel sidewalks and plow parking lots and do all the things necessary that we could gather here today. So we're a grateful people today. Thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may remain seated as you turn to hymn number 206. We'll sing together.
Thank you.
This past week, I was enjoying some devotionals that have been emailed to me, and two different emails had kind of the same theme, and it was about tithing. And somehow it just kind of struck me that I needed to use it for an offertory this morning. So I'm going to read to you from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The other offertory that I, or the other devotion that I read this week included tithing, but not just of our money, but talking about tithing of our time and how we give in service, give of ourselves. And then they also talked about tithing of our thoughts and that we should tithe 10% of our thoughts to God and simply think about God and godly things. And I thought that would be kind of hard. That'd be a big challenge for us to do. We have many distractions, but God is seeking more than just our money. He's seeking our thoughts and our actions as well. Will you pray with me as we get ready for our offering? Dear Lord, we thank you for the abundance that you bless us with. You are so wonderful to us, so gracious, so generous. We pray that we will have joy in our hearts as we bring forth our offerings, not only of our money, but of our time and of our thoughts as well. We pray that you would bless us in this and that you would bring us the abundance that you promise. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 26. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Are you ready for Christmas? Really? Are you ready to be surprised by God's amazing grace? That's what Christmas is all about. It's about getting ready for all of the surprises that we experience in God's amazing grace. That first Christmas was one event after another that was completely unexpected. Mary was not expecting to be expecting. And Joseph was a little stunned by the news of her pregnancy. The Pharisees, religious leaders of that day, didn't have a clue. They were nowhere to be found. They had no idea that the Messiah that they had been preaching about for years was in the process of beginning his reign as the King of the Jews. And Herod was terrified when the wise men came to him and said, "Where is he who is named King of the Jews?" Completely unexpected. Shepherds were fearful at the announcement of angels. Mary and Joseph certainly didn't expect to have to take off for Egypt sometime following the birth of their son. Everything about that first Christmas was surprising, unexpected. Nothing was the way you or I might have planned it, the way you or I might have wrapped it. God certainly works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. You know that scripture, right? God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. I heard that all of my life. I just assumed it was a scripture. And I was looking for it this week because I wanted to quote that scriptural reference today and was surprised to find that it's not in the Bible. It's the words to a hymn written in 1773 by William Cowper, a British hymn writer. In fact, it was his last hymn, and I'll say a bit later about why that was his last hymn. I think the idea for this hymn was based on a line in the book of Psalms. Listen to Psalm 77, verse 14. "You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the people." Certainly, we have a God who works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. I particularly like the words of verse 3 of this hymn by William Cowper, and I want to read them to you again. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. Now that's one you can post on your refrigerator door. Let me read it again. The clouds ye so much dread, those bad things that we hope and pray will not happen. The clouds ye so much dread will break with mercy and blessing on your head. That's really what Christmas is all about. It's about these terrible, fearful, seemingly tragic things that happen, and how God, with his amazing grace, can transform those moments, not simply turn lemons into lemonade. No, that is too small a task for our God. But to take what is tragic and transform it. That happened that first Christmas. I thought of this hymn when I met a man in Dominican Republic this past week. His name is Ricardo. And I'd had a long flight there and had a long layover in Newark, New Jersey, one of my favorite places to be. And I got there, I was kind of tired, and we gathered for this pastor's retreat that I was a part of in a place called Casa de Abraham. And it was just this beautiful, magical, lush, verdant jungle with bougainvillea in full bloom and just all sorts of vegetation that I couldn't identify. And I made the mistake of asking this stranger if he could identify a certain tree, and it was the owner, the person who had planted the tree. He said, let me show you. And for the next, I don't know, hour and a half, he took me on a tour throughout Casa de Abraham. We went to what he refers to as the Garden of Eden, where all of the fruit trees are planted. And he picked fruit and literally loaded my arms with... Have you ever had pomelo? I've often, I sort of would really, really like grapefruit if it was sweet. You know? And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if somebody could invent a ruby red grapefruit that was sweet? Well, that's pomelo. It tastes like grapefruit, but it's sweet and has this thick rind on it or covering on it that it took him quite some time to rip it open, and he started stuffing it in his mouth and laying pieces in my mouth. Oh, he said, this is wonderful. Try this. And so I... I was loaded down with fruit, and then we went over to the land of Canaan, where all the vegetables that are served are planted. And we went to the Jordan, this beautiful swimming pool, and the Sea of Galilee, this little pond filled with fish, and the Mount of Olives, and each area designated with a certain name. And I tell you, I can't describe the lushness of this place. And then he told me something very surprising. He said, you should have been here in 1998, right after Hurricane George struck. He said, there was nothing here. He said, it was as if there was this big, well, I'll call it greater. We all know here what a greater is. He said, it was as if this huge greater came along and scraped bare everything. He said there wasn't one tree, there wasn't one bush, there wasn't one blade of grass. It was rain brought by those clouds ye so much dread. And if you live in Belize or Dominican Republic or Haiti or some other place in the Caribbean, you know, when during hurricane season you sort of dread the possibilities. And yet, he took me around and showed me this new place. The land has been redeemed. And he had the pleasure of planting every tree and every bush. And everything that was there is new since 1998. Let's go. You ready? It was spectacularly beautiful. And that's the way our God works. God takes those dreadful events in our lives. And if we are willing to turn the pain and the dread and the terror over to our God, God can take those moments and transform them by his amazing grace. And that's the Christmas story. Mary was perplexed. Joseph was afraid. Herod was terrified. The Pharisees were completely ignorant, clueless. And yet God took those events and transformed them. Now I want to talk about how it is that you and I can prepare. Because listen, just as we prepare for our more secular Christmas celebration, you know, my wife has been baking cookies all week long and wrapping presents and doing all the kinds of stuff that we do at this time of year. Well, in the same way, we need to prepare for Christmas, prepare to allow the things in our lives that we dread to be events through which God can work in amazing ways. And Joseph gives us a good description of what we can do to prepare for these things that we dread. So that, as the hymn says, so that they are big with mercy and will break forth with blessing on our heads. Well, the first thing that Joseph did to prepare was, Joseph was one who chose to live as a person for others. How do I know that? Because we're told in the passage that John read for us that Joseph chose to act in a way that would not condemn Mary. I mean, he certainly could have become indignant by her tale of being impregnated by the Holy Spirit and, you know, right. A likely story, right? And Joseph, we're told that he chose to act with grace. He chose to act on behalf of Mary. Here's what it says in verse 19. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. He was willing to be disgraced in order that she would not be exposed to public disgrace. Joseph was one who lived for others. And I think these couple of verses in the book of Philippians describes the kind of lifestyle that you and I are challenged to be a part of as followers of Jesus. Listen to these words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2. I'm beginning at verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition. That's a pretty tall order to fill, isn't it? Do nothing from selfish ambition. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. And then he goes on to say, have this mind among you which you have in Christ. And I think what he's saying is that we cannot possibly have the mind of Christ. Some translations translate the attitude of Christ. That we can't live with a Christ-like attitude so long as our lives are all about me, myself, and I. You know, we build those monuments. The Trinity of me, myself, and I. And we laugh at people who have split personalities. Yeah, we build those monuments to ourselves. We do things that sort of point to us, to our ideas. And those Pharisees who loved Jesus. Remember the story of the widow who gave her mite without trumpets blaring, but the religious leaders who made a big deal about the money that they were giving. It's because they had lots of money to give. She gave everything she had. And Joseph was one who lived for others. And if we're going to prepare for Christmas, if we're going to prepare to be surprised by God's amazing grace and the way it can act in our lives in the midst of sorrow and brokenness and tragedy, we need to be ones who live for others. Because what happens when we live for others is our hearts get in sync with God's heart. And that's so important, for our hearts to be in sync with God's heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the heart of God. It's one of giving that which is most precious to him. And that's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus, to get our hearts in sync with God's heart. And so we find Joseph as one who lived for others. And because of that, I think it's because of that, that he heard from God. In this case, he heard through a dream. And I wonder how many times God is speaking to us through, you know, through other people who speak into our lives, through dreams, through heartaches, burdens that God gives us, and we think we have indigestion. God's trying to speak to us, and we don't hear it because our hearts aren't in sync with God's heart. And our hearts aren't in sync with God's heart because too often we live for ourselves, for our own, to fulfill our own agendas, rather than living for others as God would live. And so Joseph lived for others. And Joseph, because of that, heard from God. And Joseph also walked in forgiveness. And this is really important. And this is where I want to come back to why the hymn, God Works in Mysterious Ways His Wonders to Perform, why that hymn was William Cowper's last hymn. Right after writing that hymn, he went into a deep depression. And he responded to that depression by attempting suicide, by drowning. And he failed to complete the project. He survived. But he never forgave himself. And he was sure that his God could never forgive him. And he left the Christian faith after writing, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He died as an unbeliever because he hadn't learned that one of the most amazing things that God does is forgive us. Joseph discovered that night in that dream that he must stay with Mary and that he must name this child Yeshua, which means literally God's salvation. Now, Jesus is still a beloved person, beloved as a great humanitarian, beloved as a gifted healer, beloved as a great teacher, and in many other ways, people continue to admire Jesus. And all of those things certainly are true. But is Jesus as Savior that was at the heart of God, which is why God, because of his great love for this world, that he sent his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Because God has sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that all the world through him might be saved. Yeah. And so, friends, you and I need to learn to walk in God's forgiveness. And it's a daily task. I read recently about a lecture from Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin was piloted the lunar module on Apollo 11 in 1969. Do you remember watching it on TV? I was in college at the time, and we all gathered around in the lounge. It was summertime. I was at a musical event, the Ambler Music Fest, and we all gathered around the television to watch the first man walk on the moon. You remember who it was? Neil Armstrong. And the second one to put a foot on the ground was Buzz Aldrin. Anybody know his name? Eugene. Yeah, I think I'd be called Buzz too. Eugene. And, you know, he said that in their course, their flight from Earth to the moon, they were off course 90% of the time. And so there were these constant course collections along the way from Earth to the moon. And I mention that because, you know, the word sin, hamartia, means to miss the mark. And often, you know, when we talk about sin, it's, you know, personal sexual exploits and things like that. But what sin is all about is being off mark. Is, you know, they might have only missed the moon by a mile, but they would have missed it completely. And you and I, as good church folk, we may be off the mark. We may miss the mark only a little bit. But even to miss the mark just a little bit means that we don't experience the amazing things that God wants to do in our lives. We have a God who lays down his life for us. Joseph prepared to unpack Christmas by being a person who lived for others, by being intent to hear from God, by walking in forgiveness, and then finally, by doing what God asked him to do. Now, I thought as a younger Christian that, boy, you know, if I get serious about being a Christian, God's going to ask me to do some stuff that's really going to be painful, that's really going to be hard, that's really going to be impossible, and I'm still waiting. Because I've found, honestly, everything God has asked me to do has been fun. God rarely asks us to do the impossible. God mostly asks us to do things that we can readily do if we will simply do what the book says. What did God ask Joseph to do? Well, he asked that he marry Mary. I mean, he loved her. Probably not a real hard thing to do. And the second thing, oh, really difficult. He asked him to name her son Jesus. Those were the two things that God asked Joseph to do. They weren't that difficult. But because he was willing to do them, he was prepared for Christmas, prepared to experience God's amazing grace. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to experience God's amazing grace? I hope so. Let's get ready. Please pray with me. God, thanks for this day. What a wonderful day it's been to dash through the snow or slide through the snow to get here today. to be together with people that we deeply love, to have opportunities to pray for the needs of others, to have an opportunity to hug one another and to encourage one another and to remind each other that we have each other's back. You can count on me. We're the body of Christ. And then to sing precious songs, to be together with our children as they did such an amazing job in their Christmas program. Thank you for this day. We are blessed. Thank you for allowing us to unpack the precious gift that you've so freely given to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn, number 215. What child is this? To close with these verses from the book of Micah, referencing the difficult things that God asks us to do. Listen to these words. Micah asks this question: "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That's God. That's all that God asks. Do justice. Love to be kind. And learn to walk humbly with our God. Well, as Nike says, let's go out and just do it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen.